Sticking to your New Year's resolution is a matter of making one right decision at a time. If you're looking to institute some healthy habits and improve your lifestyle this year, you need to check out Super Beats Heart Chews. Just 2 Super Beats Heart Chews per day gives you the cardiovascular support and promote the heart-healthy energy you need to chase your goals. Super Beats Heart Chews combines non-GMO beets and clinically researched grapeseed extract shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle. Style alone. When it comes to implementing healthy habits this year, adding Super Beats Heart Chews to your daily routine is an easy decision to make. And now you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Heart Chews, plus a free 30-day supply of their new delicious flavor, Super Grapes, with your first purchase by going to danasbeats.com. That's 2 free gifts valued at over $50, only available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
Office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. Thank President.
You. Well, that is, it's official. Joe Biden is now the President of the United States, having been, he just was sworn in. And this was just minutes ago, the whole ceremony taking place. You heard it there. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Loesch. It's inauguration day. This is the Dana Show, and we're going to go through everything together. There are 17 things that Biden's going to be signing today that you need to know, and we're going to talk about all of them. So this is, and I got a little bit of course, I have technical glitches here happening too, so bear with me. My internet's in and out today, so we're going to struggle through it, but. This, the president of the United States, now former President Trump, left this morning at like, what time did he leave? I left it like a little bit after 8 o'clock Eastern time and went to Palm Beach, left Marine One, left from the White House, Marine One, and then arrived at Andrews Joint Air Force Base, left for Palm Beach, got on Air Force One. There was one thing that I heard that he wanted to leave early. One of the reasons he wanted to leave so early is because he didn't want to have to ask Joe Biden for the plane. Because you have to do that. I don't know if you're aware of that. But that's kind of like every single previous president. It's like a courtesy, but you know, and you do it anyway, but you still have to ask. And the president always, you know, the incoming president always does, but you still have to ask. So there was one thing going on out there that he didn't want to have to ask. And so he left this morning. So he is now in Palm Beach. He arrived there just maybe about a half hour ago. And now the inaugural, festivities are underway. Joe Biden is speaking right now, in fact. And it was talking about coronavirus. A lot of people were wondering whether or not this speech was going to be a speech of reconciliation, because he said that the theme for this was America United, but a lot of his remarks about unity have really missed the mark. And so I don't know what I mean, so far his speech, he's really been hammering the unity. Usually these speeches like this are like a 30,000 foot speech, and it just sets the tone. They don't get into a lot of policy. They don't do a lot of that. We have the State of the Union coming up to look forward to that. In what, like a couple weeks? We'll have that. And that's when he's going to, that might be one of the first times you hear a big, giant, comprehensive policy layout. But this, he's just more so to just more setting the tone at this point. He already has taken over, as I understand it. He's already taken over the Twitter account. It's now the POTUS account is now Biden. He's not following anybody. He's got one tweet. Everything else has been cleared out. And the same thing with the vice president account, the first lady account, all of that. I know, because in this digital era, that's incredibly important. And so, lots of, as I said, one of the things that we're expecting from the president, now he's president, he's not president-elect anymore, but one of the things that we're expecting today is a number of different moves on 17 different actions, 17 different executive orders, and we're going to get through that. We're also going to take a peek at some of the other things that he's looking to do just in the first several months. I have a big post that's going to be coming out tonight that looks into specifically Joe Biden and the Second Amendment. And then later on this week, we'll have a deep dive up on the newsletter that you need to subscribe to, chapter and verse, that gets into everything that he's looking to do, like in the first 100 days. So 17 executive actions. So 15 of these are going to be executive orders. So it's going to be, and by that, the difference between that is that the executive orders, those get published in the Federal Register. And so it's law, it becomes law at that point. And so the executive actions are more or less like kind of a formality. They're more policy, not exactly binding legally. The incoming White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, told reporters that these are going to all be signed by the afternoon. So his first stop, they don't start rolling the incoming president's stuff into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue until literally right after they take the oath. And then at that point, as I understand it, then it's considered all legit. And then they start rolling all the furniture in. Yeah. And his first stop, when he does arrive at the White House, Biden's first stop is expected to be the Oval Office, where he's going to sign all this stuff. Now, they said that the first one of the things, these are just some of the, in no particular order, some of the first things that they're going to be doing is there. You heard the rejoining. Well, first off, rejoining the Paris Accord. That's one thing. Stopping the construction of the wall. That's the other thing that's immediately going to happen. And apparently that's one of the things that he's signing today. No more. There's no more wall. And there are orders on extending some of the moratoriums on evictions and foreclosures, deferrals on student loan payments. That's one of the other things that's going to be signed. Deferrals on student loan payments. You got that? I know, right? Can you imagine? Can we just all wipe away all of our, you know, I'm just curious.
I mean, I'm comforted to hear it's a deferral as opposed to just a wiping out. But man.
Well, I think we're going to see more on that. So rejoining the Paris Accord, stopping the construction of the border wall. Do you remember the, and it wasn't a Muslim ban, but that's how it was stupidly spun. What it was a moratorium on travel from certain countries that did not have enough of an infrastructure or relationship with the United States to accurately and adequately vet people who were coming into the country. And they weren't even the biggest Muslim countries in the world, but because a couple of them were Muslim countries, the press decided to spin it in absence of refuting it any other way and just stupidly say that it was a Muslim ban, and so many dumb people parroted it. So that ends. So we're going to be getting all kinds of people that are going to be able to come to the United States, and we're not going to actually even be able to adequately or accurately vet and make sure they are who they say they are. That's going to be great for domestic terror. While they simultaneously say they have a great new plan to battle domestic terror, you realize that interior and exterior, there has to be a balance there, correct? Like I said, the eviction and foreclosure freeze until March 31st, the extending the student loan pause up until September 30th, that 1776 commission that the former President Trump now created, that's gone. The Trump's executive order on the census is gone. Fortifying DACA, the deferral action childhood arrival, that's gone. What else? There's a whole bunch of other stuff. They have 100 days masking challenge. That's how it's being presented. LGBT protections, revoking the ban on military service by those who are transgender, reversing the Mexico City policy. That's taxpayer dollars going towards abortion. And there's a lot. The full list he has up on the website, on the White House website. They have the full list of executive actions there. But there's a lot of and then a lot of the agencies and a lot of the things that were done during the Trump era. It's basically they're getting rid of all of it. So the entirety, pretty much, of Trump's his agenda's gone. So that's it. This is the soundbite that I like the most from this morning. And this is what Trump said. It was just the thing about, you know, taxes. And I thought it was actually kind of funny. Listen.
We also got tax cuts, the largest tax cut and reform in the history of our country by far. I hope they don't raise your taxes. But if they do, I told you so.
Mm-hmm. I told you so, he says. I noticed, too, that at the inauguration, do you remember Capitol Police Officer Eugene Goodman? He was the one who actually led the rioters who broke into the Capitol building. And the guy is, I think, a hero. He was leading the rioters away from the space where Mike Pence was, where former VP Mike Pence was hiding out. He was down a hall, and he was also past the doors to one of the chambers. And that's where they all were. And the and Eugene Goodman, who's the Capitol Police officer, was leading the rioters away from that. And they followed him. And so he's actually escorting now VP Kamala Harris. So I saw a picture of that that was up. So there's a lot of stuff, signing orders that are going to stop all the construction on the Keystone Pipeline, count non-citizens in the United States Census, strengthen workplace discrimination, grant in the DACA, granting permanent status to that. That's the Deferred Action Childhood Arrival Program that we were just talking about. A lot of stuff. And then there's also apparently there is I'm curious as to whether or not they're going to have a regulatory freeze like Reince Priebus did. With the previous president. So a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening today. These day one executive actions, 17 of them, that Joe Biden is going to be signing. And while everyone is going to be talking about, I'm not paying attention to the inauguration. I'm looking at what he's going to be doing and what he's going to be signing when he goes into that Oval Office. That's what you all need to have your eyes on. Ron Klain is the incoming White House chief of staff. He provided the outline for the first 10 days. There's going to be 10 days of executive orders, presidential memoranda, cabinet agency directives starting the moment that he takes oath. And Ron Klain wrote a memo that was circulated over the weekend. He said that, quote, President Biden is going to take action not just to reverse the gravest damages of the Trump administration, but also to start moving our country forward. So they're tearing down everything that happened the last 4 years. So everybody who didn't go out to vote, everything's gone. Everything that you wanted, everything that you were voting to protect, gone, 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 gone. And I noticed that some of these people, can I just point something out? I may get into this later. I noticed a lot of people that were big time lefties in 2016 and were all like against the police and then found a new grift to jump into the Trump campaign. I'm going to be salty, by the way, about some things. I just want to let you know that right now. And they decided to jump into the Trump campaign and jump onto that whole thing and be grifters and act like they have a new activist bent and all this stuff. And I saw a bunch of them tweeting like, we didn't even get the wall and we didn't get like this stuff done. And like, what was that? It was black. What happened here? You people are just like, you people are just ideologues. That's all you people are. You people go for the shiniest damn thing out there. Those types of people. And that's actually a small group. So if you're questioning whether or not it's you, it's not. It's actually a small group. But they were some of the loudest people out there. I know who the hell these people were. They were voting Democrat. They were voting Democrat in 2016. They were all big time Obama people and Occupy protesters. They're out there complaining because they don't. It's weird. So we have a lot to talk about, including how one thing I did not like about the way with the inaugural thing right now is I'm seeing the same faces that I've seen my entire life still there. They've never left. Here we are. Same new day, same boss, kind of in a way, right? Sticking to your New Year's resolution is a matter of making one right decision at a time. If you're looking to institute some healthy habits and improve your lifestyle this year, you need to check out Super Beats Heart Chews. Just 2 Super Beats Heart Chews per day gives you the cardiovascular support and promote the heart-healthy energy you need to chase your goals. Super Beats Heart Chews combines non-GMO beets and clinically researched grapeseed extract shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle. lifestyle alone when it comes to implementing healthy habits this year. Adding Super Beets Heart Chews to your daily routine is an easy decision to make. And now you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beets Heart Chews, plus a free 30-day supply of their new delicious flavor, Super Grapes, with your first purchase by going to danasbeets.com. That's two free gifts valued at over $50, only available at danasbeets.com. That's danasbeets.com.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Let me scroll through all of my notes and everything else that I have here. Okay, so finally, we saw some declassification. Trump declassified. This was like yesterday evening while we were all waiting to see if Joe Exotic got pardoned. Trump declassified. Y'all know you wanted to see that big old stretch limo, see if he's going to pull away from Fort Worth prison. It didn't happen. Trump declassifies the binder of Russia investigation documents on the eve of Biden's inauguration. So he declassifies them. What this means is that the documents have to go through a declassification review, because you know how there are some documents that are released and they're declassified, but yet there are certain things redacted. So it has to go through that process. But he said that, quote, one of the materials in the binder declassified to the maximum extent possible. But they have to go, of course, said the FBI, the process of declassification review. Could have been done a long time ago. I'm really curious as to why now. I'm happy that it was done, but why now? Just curious about that. So we'll see. By the way, this inauguration ceremony needs a good sea shanty. Jack Ma, remember how we were just speaking last week with Gordon Chang about the disappearance of Jack Ma? Well, he's been seen, so to speak. The billionaire co-founder of Alibaba resurfaced Wednesday in a video published by Chinese state media. He was shown speaking to teachers in rural China as part of a philanthropic event. The video was published by a subsidiary of the communist government's official newspaper. And so it was, he was very, I mean, it's interesting. He was having a discussion with him apparently about like post-lockdown, and that's all we know. I don't know when, I mean, possible that it could be old video, who knows, but we'll see. Let's see here. Some schools aren't streaming the inauguration over some concerns of violence for some reason, potential violence. They are choosing not to do it, refraining from showing live footage, according to the Dallas Morning News. Apparently, Plano, school districts in Plano and the Keller Independent School District, which is not far from us, are choosing not to do it, which is kind of dumb. Stick with us. Until I started talking about home title lock, I had no idea how easy the crime of home title theft actually is and how easily it can ruin you financially. The legal titles to everyone's homes are digitized. They're kept on government and business servers and in the cloud where they can be hacked. And a cyber thief can find your home's title and can forge your signature on a quitclaim deed stating that you sold your home to them. Done. And then they can take out loans against your home until all of your equity is gone and you're left with nothing but the debt. You won't even know until the collection calls start pouring in. You're not protected by insurance, your bank, or common identity theft programs. Home Title Lock protects you. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title, and the instant they detect tampering, they help shut it down cold. Visit HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you could potentially be a victim. Then use code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Have been more challenged or found a time more challenging or difficult than the time we're in now. Once in a century virus that silently stalks the country. It's taken as many lives in 1 year as America lost in all of World War II. Millions of jobs have been lost. Hundreds of thousands of businesses closed. A cry for racial justice, some 400 years in the making, moves us. The dream of justice for all will be deferred no longer. A cry for survival comes from planet itself, a cry that can't be any more desperate or any more clear. And now, a rise of political extremism,
white supremacy, domestic terrorism.
Okay.
That we must confront and we will defeat.
What about like Antifa and the Burn Loot murder kind of stuff, you know? See, this is where I have to tell you, and welcome back to the show, folks. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. I have to tell you, I am a total cynic. What am I going to say? I'm completely cynical. And I had hoped that maybe Biden would refrain from the identity politic and all of that stuff. And if you're going to name the theme of your inauguration, what is it? America? The hell was it called again? Unity in America? Some whatever rhetoric about unity. They'll forget it too tomorrow. Don't worry. If you're going to have that as the theme of your inauguration and you're lecturing everyone about unity, maybe demonstrate some of it, right? No. So I don't know necessarily that he's chosen to do that. I will have to say that apparently, so the Bible that they used to swear him in, someone said it looked like a menu from a Cheesecake Factory. It's the family Bible that they have, apparently, going back to the, I don't know, I guess he never read it because of his position on abortion, but whatever. But someone said because the Cheesecake Factory menu is so big that it resembled that. I can't get that out of my head. I'm still chuckling about it. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, it does kind of. It is like, I was just, I was hoping for a little bit, like, can you just refrain? I know that he's throwing some seed out there to the base. But it would be great if they could just refrain from doing the constant identity politics. Now, if the media were treating him the way they would treat Trump, they would say, oh my gosh, can you believe he's sitting here talking? He's got people reading poems and Lady Gaga there, and people are dying of coronavirus right now. Mm-hmm. So, just pointing that out. Goodness, goodness, goodness. I don't know. To me, when I was watching everyone assemble there on the stage, I just noticed that it was the same people that I've seen there my entire life. The same people that I've seen my entire life. So, and there's a new Twitter account. Well, except for Doug Elmhorf. He's got the Second Gentleman Twitter account. That's a new thing. I don't know if I like Second Gentleman. That just sounds, unless you call it SG, then maybe. It just, there's too many syllables. Come on. What about Dude 2? You know, 2D, I don't know. I mean, just. One of the things that Biden said in his remarks, he said that politics doesn't have to be a raging fire, destroying everything in its path. Every disagreement doesn't have to be a cause for total war. Well, is that something that you're going to now start to demonstrate? Is it? I mean, I'm curious. There is extremism everywhere, almost, it seems like. And we've watched it all for a whole year going up, you know, going up this entire time. I will say this. I noticed today, because I told you yesterday, Sidney Powell withdrew her suit. She's a clown. Sidney Powell is a clown. Get mad at me for saying it. I'm madder at her for lying to you. Lynn Wood is a clown. These people are grifters. They had everybody going. I was telling family members of mine, don't share conspiracy theories. Because these people, you know why I get aggravated at them? Because they're, to me, they're no different than the left. In fact, hell, Lynn Wood is a Democrat. You never change that affiliation, if you notice. Never change our registration. They lie to people because it's a grift. It becomes a business for them. There were things that, I mean, some of the stuff that Lynn Wood was saying is some of the nuttiest stuff I've ever heard. And Sidney Powell keep going, well, she kept saying the Kraken's coming. I'm like, well, the Kraken would have been like good, like maybe months ago, you know, when the Kraken had time to come out and crack or whatever Krakens do. I don't know. They're just big squid, aren't they?
I have no idea.
I don't care.
I don't
I'm just looking at the 17 executive actions that Biden's signing today. But I do want to point that out, that I think that there is a level of responsibility that these people bear. Lying to people and leading them on. The reason, as I said, that I get aggravated and angry about it is because to me, they are no different than the left. They are no different than the people who were selling folks on this idea of Russian collusion. They're no different from them. They lied. And they made good people believe them and buy into it. No, it didn't. I mean, when's the next big move supposed to happen, right? I mean, like, at what point it just, you know. I was looking at some of the tweets and some people were saying, oh, my gosh, you know, the oaths are taking place. There's no plan. You know, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, because there wasn't one. There never was one. Don't buy into some of these snake oil salesmen. There's a reason why I never took to them. There's a reason why I didn't want to sit. I wasn't going to invite some of these folks on my show because I didn't want to give them a platform. And we've been pitched. And I've said no. Because I think they're grifters. And trading on the little influence that they have and acting like they have some inside track when they don't. Sidney Powell didn't have an inside track. Her press conferences were ridiculous. If she was my attorney, I would have fired her. So that needs to be said, because I feel like they misled a lot of people. And I feel like they tried to take a lot of good people. Good people who couldn't understand what was going on. And instead of having that conversation and exploring it, they sent in sloppy lawsuits where they didn't even have the geography correct. They didn't even name the cities correct in a number of these filings. And then here, yesterday, very quietly, she drops voluntarily the case in Georgia. Just walks away. A lot of people are upset. To me, they're no different than the left. Now, that being said, these executive orders, as I said, we were going on looking at some of the executive orders that Biden is expected to sign today. So when they go back to the White House, his first stop apparently is supposed to be the Oval Office where he signs these. So sweeping changes. So the first thing, he's launching the 100 days masking challenge. He previewed this last month. Let me pull this up for you. He wants Fauci to be his chief medical advisor, says he's going to ask for 100 days of masking. They got a new leader in at the CDC. There's a lot of and people brought up the constitutional problems that are going to come up if he tries to mandate this. You can't have a national mask mandate. There's just no way constitutionally you could make it happen. Furthermore, it would be litigated 6 ways to Sunday. So he is, because there was a lot of back and forth on it. And I think he wanted it at first because he called for a 3-month. If you remember, he called for a 3-month mandate. He had said, quote, it's not about your rights. Remember his quote? He said, he told reporters in Delaware, and this was in August, he said, quote, let's institute a mask mandate nationwide starting immediately. We'll save lives. And we had the big conversation as to the constitutionality of that. And he said, quote, it's not about your rights. It's about your responsibilities as an American. Do you remember that? So that's and they went back and forth. And I had also even shared with you some of the conversation that they were having with his team on the legality of it. So what they decided to do is they settled on an executive order that will make face coverings and social distancing that will be required on any federal property and for any federal employee. That gets signed today. So that's what he's signing today. Any federal property, any federal employee, you have to wear a mask. We will also, the other thing that he's going to sign, an EO on re-engaging with the World Health Organization. Anthony Fauci is speaking next week at the World Health Organization's executive board meeting. The World Health Organization, which contributed to the spread of the coronavirus by not only refusing to acknowledge what was even happening in China, refusing to even acknowledge after they admitted that there was something happening, they refused to acknowledge the transmissibility of it. They refused to acknowledge the high contagiousness of it. And then they agreed to exclude Taiwan from the table of all these other countries on the planet to discuss ways that they could, actions that they could take to limit the transmission, to control the spread, because China hates Taiwan. They politicize this and they cost lives. And we give them money. Trump ended it. Joe Biden's going to put us right back in. So that gets signed today. Restructuring the coronavirus response. I told you this last week. He is going to nationalize the response to the coronavirus. You know, because Democrat leadership in so many of these other states has been so great in getting vaccines out. I mean, just look at New York, where the elderly only have to stand in line for hours on hours after they make an appointment, going through hours and hours of different forms online. And in California, same thing, etc. He is extending the federal eviction and foreclosure moratoriums and student loans. Now, as it relates to the evictions and moratoriums on foreclosures, there will be no moratorium on taxes. No. There will be no moratorium on taxes. No, that's all still going to go as planned, everybody. So I hope that you didn't, you know, think that you were going to get like some kind of break on that. In fact, it was reported, I know we got to get moving, the IRS, they're only delaying the start of tax filing season to February 12th. So get ready. Now you're going to have a federal mandate that you have to pause anything that is related to your property. You won't be able to collect rent or anything, but you still have to pay the exact amount of taxes on that property for services that you probably likely haven't been rendered or even been available to you for a portion of, or if not all of the year. Just going to put that out. So it's senseless to me to not do it with taxes too. Also, just to run this down, rejoining the Paris Agreement. This and undo the environmental deregulations. We're going to go through this bit by bit here coming up. I told you about DACA and then the travel on, because they keep the way that they put it, they said that Trump has extreme vetting measures. You know, we should just be more lackadaisical about everything that comes into the country during a time of pandemic and terror threats, right? Yeah. So we're going to go bit by bit through some of this, especially some of the deregulation. We'll also look at what he's getting ready to do with taxes. And tomorrow, we're going to do a big old deep dive on the Second Amendment as well, because, gird up, because that actually, there's a lot, even though the numbers are close in the Senate and the House, there's a lot there that could actually come to pass. And we're going to talk about it. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. Privately owned family company, they began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. And Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike. Never copying weapons, everything they do is always innovative. SHOT Show is usually the time for Kel-Tec to unveil what's next, but with SHOT canceled this year, stay tuned into this program and Kel-Tec's social channels for several new Kel-Tec weapons that are coming. All true to Kel-Tec's commitment to game-changing innovation and performance. I'm excited to see what they've got next. While Kel-Tec is at full production, demand is higher than ever, and as a result, some of their firearms might be a little difficult to find, but they are working so hard to fulfill every distributor order as quickly as possible. All innovative Kel-Tec firearms are proudly and quality-made right here in America, in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. Check them out at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Their clients and word that potentially Joe Exotic, a.k.a. Tiger King, could get a presidential pardon annoyed this one Trump loyalist. And in the words of this Trump loyalist, he said, and I'll just put this in a quote here because these aren't my words. This is the words from a Trump ally. I'll be pissed if that dip does make the president's list of pardons and my client doesn't. So, Wolf, as you can see, there are some hard feelings building up as we speak.
Oh, that was actually too funny. They had the Joe Exotic limo that was like ready to rock, y'all. It was up there ready to go. And a friend of ours I was telling Rachel and Kane this, that they were going to the big old football thing in downtown Dallas, and they got this stretch limo for it, and they said, oh my gosh, that's the limo we got for the football game. He's a Joe Exotic could be in that limo. There's no way this mulleted creature was getting pardoned. Now, you know, I'm all for the content, because you know it would have been amazing, right? You know it would have been amazing. Oh, yeah. It would have been ridiculous. And the fact that they made this limo driver get out and wait there never happened. Never happened.
That limo and Joe Exotic's chances both.
I would have traded Joe Exotic, who is an animal abuser. I would have traded him, and he is. I would have traded him for Steve Bannon, because at least Joe Exotic is like creatively entertaining, whereas Steve Bannon is just like a human leech. He doesn't even, he didn't even care if he finds a teat. He'll just latch on wherever. So that soundbite. Unlike other people, I've had the unfortunate pleasure of knowing him personally for over a decade. So I speak from experience that no one can match. Thank you. And I saw that. And I'm like, he called Donald Trump Jr. a traitor. And it was reported that he stole money from people, like supporters. So why would you? I mean, hell, I think I'd even trade him for Snowden. Really? Oh, my gosh. All right. So we're still waiting for the inaugural ceremonies at the Capitol. I'm only in this to watch, and because I want to see these 17 executive orders that are getting signed. And I've named them for you. We're going to go through some of them bit by bit. And we'll have that whole discussion. And we're also going to look at some of the stuff. The Republicans apparently are fighting over Liz Cheney. Good job, Republicans. Yeah, you're mad at Liz Cheney. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's signing 17 executive actions today. What the hell are you going to do about it? I don't know. We're too busy fighting about Liz Cheney. Too busy fighting about Liz Cheney. We're going to make fun of those people and talk about that coming up. You can get mad, but like, take action first. Patriot Mobile is a longtime supporter of my show, helping to bring you free conservative radio. This year, Patriot Mobile is bringing even more to my loyal listeners with expanded wireless coverage. If you've contacted Patriot Mobile before and they didn't have the coverage you wanted, I urge you to call now. Their expanded coverage also comes with even lower pricing options. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, you get the broadest coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks with a company you can trust. Patriot Mobile gives back a portion of every dollar earned to support organizations in which you believe. Call now and receive Patriot Mobile's premier activation at no additional charge. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for premier activation and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, their plans, your freedom.
What we've done has been amazing by any standard. We rebuilt the United States military. We created a new force called Space Force. That in itself would be a major achievement for a regular administration. We were not a regular administration.
No, they weren't. And he was an outsider till the very end, I tell you. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Second hour here, danalash.com. Subscribe to Chapter and Verse. I got a lot of stuff coming out for you about that. We've been following the inauguration, and we watched my favorite thing so far is watching Bill Clinton sleep through the entirety of Joe Biden's remarks. Eyes closed. And I don't think Hillary nudged him this time. Didn't nudge him this time. We saw Hunter Biden. I didn't recognize him with his clothes on, but he's there nonetheless, right? Someone had remarked that Joe Biden's speech was incredibly touching, much of it inappropriate, but touching. So here we go. We've been in this position before, fam. Now, as the inaugural stuff, as you ignore all the inaugural festivities, I can't because I do this for my job. Some things that you should know. While the Republicans slap fight over whether or not they're mad at Liz Cheney, and by the way, you can sit here and try to remove Liz Cheney from whatever committee that she's sitting on, and this is not an endorsement of anything, I'm just telling you the lay of the land. She did her time, she paid her dues, and she made sure that she was in a position strong enough, at least of seniority anyway, so that when she spent this political capital, that Republicans couldn't cancel her. I'm just telling you, this is what she did. And some of the Republicans in back in her state of Wyoming can censure her. But ultimately, this comes back to what voters do, right? So you can't fix the dam downstream. You got to go to where the break is. And if people are upset over what Liz Cheney did and her remarks and, you know, support for impeachment and all of that, then they need to be like in her home state, changing hearts and minds and retail politicking in that effect. So, I mean, you can't be serious about it unless you're doing that. But my problem is that so many Republicans are going to be focused on that slap fight, and not enough are going to be paying attention to what actually is happening in the new Biden administration. 17 executive actions that are getting signed just today. Now, some of them are executive orders. Some of them, they're classified. The difference between the order and the action is the order is considered legally binding, whereas the action is just like a suggestive formality, for the lack of a better way to put it. So 17 different executive actions and orders. They're going to have the 100 days masking challenge. So if you are on a federal property or a federal employee, that gets signed today. Re-engaging with the World Health Organization, you know, because the World Health Organization and excluding Taiwan from any international discussions about controlling and or stopping the spread of the virus at the request of Communist China, the World Health Organization that made excuses for Communist China, the World Health Organization that also enabled the faster spread of the pandemic because they refused to rein China in or even accurately acknowledge what the heck was going on. We're going to go back to the World Health Organization and pay them more of our taxpayer dollars because we haven't been burdened enough this year. Restructuring the, well, federal coronavirus response. So Biden, imagine someone thinking that immediate health concerns should be nationalized. He's nationalizing the coronavirus response, and his party has such a great track record of screwing this up. So I'm sure this is going to go swimmingly at the national level, right? You don't expect any kind of Ron DeSantis rollout in terms of vaccine distribution at the national level. It'll look more like a Cuomo, right? Just going to put that out there. He's extending the federal eviction and foreclosure moratoriums, but he's not at all going to have a moratorium on the start of tax filing season. No, the IRS is delayed it only till February 12th, and you'll be expected to pay the exact same amount of taxes, even though the federal government is telling you that you're not going to be able to collect on this kind of property or this or that, but you're still going to have to pay taxes. Rejoining the Paris Agreement and countering and undoing entirely Trump's environmental deregulation. It's the executive order avalanche is what it is. He's signing this league. And this, by the way, the other thing is that they were looking at the Iranian deal. He wants to rejoin the Iranian deal, which would be absolutely ridiculous. I don't see how that's going to work. I mean, to sit here and join an international agreement, whether it's the Iranian deal or the Paris Agreement. The Paris Agreement is something that would absolutely has to go through the Senate for approval. And the fact that he wants to do an in run around this and have something like this, hand the entirety of our energy policy over to Europe without even so much as getting any kind of anything from the Senate. All the people who support this had the audacity, these hypocrites, to call Trump a tyrant when this guy is putting our entire energy policy, putting it in the hands of Europe and ignoring the legal requirement of having to go through the Senate. I'm going to put that out there. He's also any action that was taken during the Trump administration. He's asking all federal departments and agencies to review and ameliorate any action done so under the Trump administration. That includes like methane emissions, revising standards for vehicle fuel economy. I'm sure that they're going to bring back the crappier dishwashing detergent where I don't have as many phosphates in it. I'm going to complain about that 6 ways to Sunday. He's also, of course, with the Deferred Action Childhood Arrival, the DACA plan, signing a memorandum to take all appropriate actions under law to preserve and fortify, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of people are going to be, you're going to have amnesty. The plan that the press absolutely incorrectly called a Muslim ban, and they said it was all about religious animus and xenophobia. What this was about was, and it only was like a couple of Muslim nations, not even the biggest Muslim nations, by the way, but it was a ban on travel from countries with whom the United States doesn't have a relationship, or countries that don't have the infrastructure to properly vet and validate the identity of people coming into the United States. Now Joe Biden says that has to end because it's racist to expect governments like, oh, I don't know, Pakistan, or governments, I don't know, like name, or even like name something, Afghanistan, anybody else? North Korea, why not? Any country that with whom we don't have a relationship, we're just going to go on the honor system. I'm not kidding. Like, this is what they're doing. Biden's also going to reverse Trump's ban on the use of critical race theory, indoctrination, and taxpayer funding of same in federal agencies and for companies that contract with the federal government. This is part of him canceling out the president's 1776 commission. Critical race theory is a Marxist theory. It is a Marxist teaching. It was founded by Karl Marx as critical theory. It is an offshoot of that critical race theory, CRT. And it became very, very popular on college campuses throughout the 60s. In fact, I've written on how Derek Bell was a mentor to former President Barack Obama. And Derek Bell was a pioneer of CRT in academic institutions. So all of that, that is all happening. This stuff is all getting going. This is all happening today. So you are going to be paying to teach your kids that they're racist bigots. Your boys are bad. All this other stuff. You're going to be paying for it with your taxpayer dollars in schools. So there you go. All right, so that's what's happening today. Meanwhile, Republicans can slap fight over Liz Cheney, but somebody needs to be the adult in the room and pay attention to whatever the hell's going on here in Washington, D.C. with these 17 executive actions. And folks, I haven't even gotten into the other stuff that he's looking to undertake in the first 100 days. Everything I told you, everything in the past 4 years, everything is going to be undone. So just so you know. Everything will be undone. And it's not, I look at Georgia, and it's not because people were cheating in Georgia. Well, I mean, they were cheating, but I don't believe that it altered the election to the point of where it was. I've looked at the turnout. I have literally have looked at raw data. It's publicly available. People didn't go out to vote. In fact, there were fewer Republicans who were going out to vote in Georgia than there were during the 2016 election and the slash general. Most important election ever. So I just look at it. I'm like, if you didn't go out and vote this last election and you didn't vote in Georgia's election, I mean, great. You just kind of helped Democrats then, didn't it? Right? Isn't that how it goes? So here we are. Here we are. The other big thing we've been discussing, too, is that House Resolution 1, H.R. 1. H.R. 1 is a big bad. I threw this down on Facebook. What did I say? Let me pull this up. I got to look at my Facebook page because I was tired of people on my, by people, I meant like actual people I'm related to. I was tired of them complaining about, I said, look, anyone claiming to care for election integrity should know about H.R. 1. If they don't, do they really care about election integrity? Do those who saber rattle about a siege when they can't even be bothered to read what's being introduced in Congress aren't useful patriots? It's true. It is bad. Bad, bad, bad. It is an anti-speech. It is a nationalization of elections. And we're going to go through that bit by bit. So there's a lot of stuff we're going to be going through because you need to know what's happening. I mean, it would be great if we had this like national entity that could like report on stuff for us and give us details about what is happening in Washington, D.C. But sadly, all we have are propagandists. Ooh, speaking of the Fourth Estate, they're now going to go from being attack dogs for Democrats to being lapdogs for Democrats. Have you seen some of the headlines? I retweeted a couple of them. It's pretty unbelievable. They, for instance, my friend David Harsanyi had a collection. I was actually kind of laughing at some of this. It was was entirely ridiculous. For instance, these are headlines from just like all your requisite mainstream media. Everybody from CNN to Associated Press to AFP to Vogue to Glamour to ABC, CBS. All the times Joe Biden's love for ice cream melted our hearts. Aww. Next headline, CNN. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris drop a playlist for your inauguration watch party. Yeah, they have CBS Sunday Morning. Vice President Kamala Harris and her husband, Douglas Emhoff, sit down with Jane Pauley and open up about their relationship and the story behind those Converse sneakers. Washington Post. Most people know her as Jill Biden, but to some she's Dr. B, the compassionate and challenging educator who went the extra mile. Glenn Kessler, Washington Post. Get ready for reality-grounded White House press briefings. Lauren Wolf, who's a reporter in New York Times. Biden landing at Joint Base Andrews now. I have chills. Not even making this up. I could go on and on. On and on. Another reporter. Simon Pro-Kuppitz. Let the healing begin. We have needed this. What? CNN's David Shalane. The sidelights on the National Mall's reflecting pool are like extensions of Joe Biden's arms embracing America. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep reading these because there's thousands of them. But we do have to go to a quick break.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I am fascinated by this story. A dude who was scared of the coronavirus lived undetected at an airport for 3 months. In the United States. 3 months. In Chicago, Chicago's O'Hare Airport is, it is huge. So this guy, Aditya Singh, arrived on a flight from his home city of LA and never left. And that was on October 19th. And it wasn't until January 16th that he was approached by two United Airlines employees and apprehended by police. So he was charged, he was arrested and charged with criminal trespass to a restricted area of an airport and theft. He remained undetected for so long because he found an airport employee's lost ID badge. So he was able to access the secure part of the airport. And apparently passengers were giving him food and all kinds of stuff. He was like the pet of the airport, I guess. And the Cook County judge, Susana Ortiz, says, and I quote, "You're telling me that an unauthorized non-employee individual was allegedly living within a secure part of the O'Hare Airport terminal from the 19th of October 2020 to the 16th of January 2021 and not detected? I want to understand you correctly." That is her actual direct quote. He is currently unemployed. He's got a master's degree in hospitality, no other criminal record, and he was scared to go home because of coronavirus. That is just one of the craziest stories that I've ever at all read.
Terminal by with Tom Hanks? Isn't that the same kind of idea?
Isn't it though? Yeah. This guy brought this untrained goofball brought a 22 to a 9mm fight. ABC Channel 7 has a story of a Hesperia homeowner who fended off an intruder in a gun battle that was caught on his home security camera. It was early morning wild shootout this Monday. This guy, he ended up being a neighbor that this guy has never talked to, which is kind of scary. He was trying to break in his house. And he's like, "I saw him trying to kick the door in, demanding to come in. Then he pulled out a gun." Well, the homeowner pulled out a gun, defended himself. The neighbor was arrested. But they've had apparently some instances, I don't know involving this neighbor, but instances of like burglary in the neighborhood. So stick with us. A lot more in store.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
This is a great, great country. It is my greatest honor and privilege to have been your president. I will always fight for you. I will be watching, I will be listening, and I will tell you that the future of this country has never been better. I wish the new administration great luck and great success. I think they'll have great success. They have the foundation to do something really spectacular.
And that is the president's final remarks before he boarded Air Force One for the final time and went to Palm Beach this morning. That was his remarks at Andrews Air Force Base right after he arrived there from Marine One. Welcome back to the show. I am Dana Lash, danalash.com. Go subscribe to the newsletter. And we're following all of the inaugural stuff. I am not so much focused on the festivities as I am focused on the things that Biden is signing today. 17 executive orders, and we've been discussing them throughout the day. They cover everything from bypassing the Senate, the legal process, to joining an agreement like the Paris Agreement, which is one of the things that Biden's expected to do today. And of course, for all the people who said that Trump was a tyrant, I'm sure they're going to be equally objecting to something like this. And then, of course, undoing the 1776 commission, restoring taxpayer dollars to teach critical race theory. In addition to that, he's going to be tearing apart the Keystone pipeline support, a bunch of different things. The Mexico City policy, where you have taxpayer dollars going towards abortion advocacy and performing of abortions in foreign countries. I'm not putting a political spin on this. This is literally what they do. If it sounds like a political spin, it's because maybe perhaps you're a person who's a progressive and you're driving by. I'm just saying. But that's just the way it is. That is what's happening. And that is just in the first couple of days. Well, that's just actually today. But I saw a photo. It was actually a really funny meme. I'm going to post it in Slack to you guys because I'm dying right now. It's actually funny. You know how they have, what was it? What was the thing where the ship was hijacked and it was the guy who was like, I'm the captain now.
Captain Phillips.
We're the resistance now. Right. Huh? We're the resistance now. Kind of funny. All right. So a lot of people wondering if Biden was actually going to give kind of a speech of reconciliation. I'm not quite sure if it could be characterized as that. It's going to be hard because he dipped into a little bit of identity politics. And I just saw this as well. The Biden administration has just, this is 2 minutes ago, changed the U.S. ambassador to Israel into the U.S. ambassador to Israel, the West Bank, and Gaza. The day one policy shift. Wow. Wow. I'm wondering what this is going to mean for the Abraham Accords and everything else as well, and whether or not that's going to, and this comes from the Washington Free Beacon, the ambassador to the Israel. Yeah, the Twitter name includes now West Bank and Gaza. So here we go back to just garbage foreign policy. Day one, everybody. Yeah. But hey, you know, I mean, there were a lot of people who didn't vote. There were a lot of people who didn't vote with the Senate runoff. 4 years. And now we had people who were out there telling people not to vote. Democrats like Lynn Wood, and then grifters who identify as Republicans were out there telling people not to vote. The dude who organized the Stop the Steal thing was one of the people enabling Lynn Wood. You stole it from yourself. No, Lynn Wood's going to go back and he's going to lay in his pile of millions. And meanwhile, everyone else gets their taxes raised. Right? The biggest winner is Xi Jinping. So lots of, I'll be bringing you all this stuff. And
China leaders are drinking champagne right now.
Completely. So that's a big shift. So there we go. That's one of the first things. One of the first things that we have. All right. So there are some people in Georgia now as they're mad because, excuse me, they're mad because the checks that they are going to get are not $2,000. So they're mad at John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock right now. Oh? Huh. Look at that. So big, some already big things underway. There's going to be, you're going to get an information dump this week. And I just want to let you know, like this, especially with the newsletter, it's going to be an info dump. There's stuff that you need to know. You're going to absolutely have to know all of this. I wanted to play here really quickly. Speaking of, you know, I mean, and you knew this shift in terms of this foreign policy I mean, since this just happened, I mean, and they did, I went to the account. It's the U.S. It was just the U.S. ambassador to Israel. Now it's U.S. ambassador to Israel, West Bank and Gaza. I want you to listen to Rashida Tlaib here, who is saying some of the most ignorant stuff that I've ever heard, and not anything that's based in fact. But just listen to this. This is someone in Congress who's going to be helping the president guide them on foreign policy.
I mean, I think it's really important to understand Israel is a racist state, and that they would deny Palestinians like my grandmother access to a vaccine, that they don't believe that she's an equal human being that deserves to live, deserves to be able to be protected by this global pandemic. And it's really hard to watch as this apartheid state continues to deny their own neighbors, the people that breathe the same air they breathe. That live in the same communities. You could put a settlement wherever you want, but on the other side of that wall is a farm community, a village where my grandmother lives.
And of course, she's telling Democracy Now, which is a bunch of communists. She's telling them, this is what she's telling them in this interview. Oh my goodness. By the way, I mean, if here's the thing, she's upset about Palestinian territories. Who do you think controls Palestinian territories? Anybody want to take a guess? Kane, you got any idea?
I don't know.
It's a Palestinian Authority.
That's what I was going to guess.
Yeah.
Gaza? I guess was going to be.
Yeah, Gaza is, I mean, you have Hamas.
Right.
Why is Israel a racist state? Because the Palestinian Authority is not distributing stuff. They're literally given everything and they fritter it away. The leadership there. So I'm just curious about that right now. Yeah, it's gonna I am a little worried about all of that, about the what this is gonna lead to. Coming up, we're going to talk about the president and the possibility of there being a new party. But I wanted to play this soundbite from Trump where he was saying that he hasn't gotten us involved in any wars. Audio soundbite 10. This is another soundbite that I like from him this morning. Listen.
Of historic peace deals in the Middle East. Nobody believed it could happen. The Abraham Accords opened the doors to a future of peace and harmony, not violence and bloodshed. It is the dawn of a new Middle East, and we are bringing our soldiers home. I am especially proud to be the first president in decades who has started no new wars.
I don't know how long that's going to last now with the new president in office, because I just see some things happening right now. It's interesting. I see some things happening right now that, this change, and I'm seeing a couple of other things come up. Yes.
Optically, it looks like our relationship with Israel is now weaker. So how does that play out when you're talking about peace in the Middle East? There's not going to be any, fearful ally with Israel that would usher in and incentivize peace. They're taking away the peace incentive is what they're doing.
Yeah. Here's the other thing I'm really curious about. Now, switching from foreign policy to look at domestically with this coronavirus relief bill, I am curious because I'm looking at day one agenda stuff. And we were always told urgency, 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 urgency. You know, when are we going to expect this immediate action on your stuff to happen, right? And apparently Politico was talking to them about it, and Democrats are going to have their coronavirus proposal ready in March. Wait, what? March.
Why?
Did you just look at your non-existent watch?
I did.
Yeah.
Why March? Can't, I thought this was urgent 8 months ago.
I am just the messenger. Why in March? I mean, there's stuff coming up. Let me just put all of this stuff in order here. They moved quickly. They wanted to do impeachment, and apparently they are still obsessed with the idea of impeachment, even though the urgency of impeachment is about preventing someone from or removing someone from office. But we don't have that. Yeah, he's not in office anymore. And they wanted to pass this coronavirus bill that included all of this pork because they immediately said that it was important. But now their big proposal that they were supposed to follow up with is not going to be ready till March. It's not considered. So are they swapping preparing the coronavirus proposal because they want to go after Trump?
It sounds like it. What else could be on the calendar?
Oh, man. Woo! 4 years! Whoop-a-doo! Yay!
I mean, they really don't want him to come back.
They hate him more than they want to serve you.
Right.
Just saying. That's what it looks like. Just kind of pretty unbelievable. Oh, my goodness. So, as we continue with these inaugural events, and we'll bring you all of the latest, and we're also going to bring you any of the latest with any other developments, like we were just telling you with that soundbite with the ambassador. We're also going to talk about media reaction. Golly, it's not even journalism. It just really isn't. We're going to get into all of that and more as we get moving on here, because we're finishing. I can't even believe we're already in hour two. Seriously. We're going to need another hour today in a bigger boat.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
Well, I do think that we're bigger than all of this. Donald Trump was a stain on our country. I don't think we could have sustained our democracy if he had two terms in office for what he was doing to our institutions or what he was doing to our Constitution. He dishonored it. He, in every respect, was unworthy to be president, did not respect the office that he held, and certainly did not respect the office the rest of us hold as well.
Goodness. Nancy Pelosi, but unity, though. Unity, right?
What constitutional fracture happened when Trump was president?
Are they talking about their efforts to abuse the FISA court?
Well, that would be their fracture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, they weren't talking about themselves.
Yeah, it's confusing for me when she throws out those accusations but has absolutely nothing to back it up, and media doesn't call her out on it ever.
The president left a note for Joe Biden in the desk, the Resolute desk in the Oval Office.
What did it say?
I almost want to take bets on whether or not there's a Sleepy Joe in there. Dear Sleepy Joe,
right.
I'm just curious as to what the letter said. Very curious as to what the letter said. And also, remember Eugene Goodman? He was the officer who led the rioters, the people who got into the Capitol building away from where Vice President Mike Pence was and other lawmakers. He has now been promoted to acting deputy Senate sergeant at arms. So he got himself a promotion, which I think was deserved because he was smart. He made a smart decision there. And he was trying to also corral. He led them away. He was de-escalating. So there you go. We have coming up a lot more to discuss. The 17 executive actions today. And then some other things that you need to be aware of that they're going to be implementing these first 100 days. And tomorrow we're going to speak about, we're going to get into what this also means for voting rights and voter integrity and Second Amendment rights, too. Because you need to be aware of H.R. 1, right? You need to be aware of H.R. 1. So we're going to get into all of that and a lot more. In the meantime, it's time for Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I love animals, too. I really do. I love animals because I think that, especially dogs, they're just better than people. They're just more honest and loving and, you know, so are horses. Cats aren't. Cats are total jerks. But you can't go stealing stuff and assume that every animal, I don't know. Look, Lake County, Florida, a Florida man is behind bars after deputies say he tried to free horses from a local ranch. The Lake County Sheriff's Office says ranch owners reported several horse stalls were open and horses were loose. And as they were being corralled, the owners told deputies that they saw a man driving the owner's truck, according to the sheriff's office. One of the owners was able to stop the guy, Mark Anthony Hunt. They detained him. And when they asked the 55-year-old why he was doing what he did, why did he open the stalls? He said, I don't think those horses should be caged. He said he was going to rot them away and set them free. He was drunk as all get out, too, they noticed. So he's on all kinds of charges, grand theft auto. I didn't know, like, you could, because apparently that's like what you can, that's kind of crazy. He's burglary charge, grand theft auto, grand theft charges, $15,000 bond. He does not look at all in any way remorseful in his mugshot. He's got this, like, scowl on his face. It was just, it's kind of funny. It's just really, it's funny. Let's see, a Florida man armed with a twisted T and metal pipe threatens a former employer. Shane Gillis, they overheard when police arrived, he was threatening to injure his ex-employer. They overheard him tell the victim that he had something for him. He was holding a twisted T can in his right hand, and it's apparently considered a deadly weapon on the street, and he was going to, I guess, throw it at the victim's head. He was arrested for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill. He did have a metal pipe in his jeans. He really did it. It's not a joke. Stick with us.
He looks small. He just looks like a small man. And that is exactly the way that he has handled his presidency since he lost. And he just has appeared smaller and smaller. And less courageous.
So what you're saying, Dana Bash at CNN, is that he's physically shrinking.
Well, it does look that way, Wolf. It looks like he went through a shrinking machine at a Willy Wonka candy factory or something. And like Mike TV, he went through a TV and came out tiny.
Journalism.
And this is CNN. Welcome back to the show, everyone. I am not seeing it. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. And it's good to be with you this inauguration day. They're going through all the things. We're going through them with you. I'm just punching in when it's at least to watching the inauguration, when something happens that I think you need to know of, like, you know, him signing some stuff in the Oval Office. They're doing the wreath laying ceremony now. Everyone's making memes of Bernie Sanders, who is sitting there wearing mittens that have been... The thing about his mittens, and their memes are everywhere. I've, like, seen a million of them, and I can't like them enough. There was a teacher from Vermont who gave him these mittens a couple of years ago. Gosh, this is such a Vermont thing. They're made from repurposed wool sweaters and lined with fleece made from recycled plastic bottles. But with the money that his wife frittered away when she ran the girls' school almost into bankruptcy... Oh, wait, that was that last part wasn't part of it. He's just like this grumpy old hippie sitting in the corner. And it's just kind of funny. And then I'm seeing pictures of J-Lo doing a shoot at the Capitol building, literally like doing photos and poses and stuff at the Capitol building. And it's kind of funny. So, I mean, like the Instagram influencer kind of stuff. It's just funny. So, I don't know, man. This is just going to be a trip when everything just like, I don't know. I think media is going to get a little bit of their own medicine. I don't know. Joe Biden has asked, the transition team did ask Jerome Adams, this is Justin, to resign. Surgeon General Jerome Adams confirmed that the incoming administration requested that he step down ahead of the inauguration. And he tweeted it, I've been asked by the Biden team to step down as Surgeon General. It's my honor, my life, blah, 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 blah. So he's out. It's racist. So much racisms. I was told that that is racist. Yeah. Yes. Or as one of my friends says, on day one, Joe Biden returns to the long Democrat tradition of stripping black men of their jobs. Ooh, just saying. And then, of course, there are all kinds of Hunger Game themes happening because of Lady Gaga's outfit when she went and sang the national anthem. She sang a good national anthem. So I'm, you know, I don't dislike that she sang it. She doesn't, I will say this of her. She doesn't do like really, she doesn't say ignorant stuff. She's got her political viewpoints. I don't mind people having political viewpoints. It's when you're like, anyone who doesn't agree with me is like a racist. That's when I have problems, right? Or everyone I don't like is a Nazi. That's when I have problems. But everyone says it's like a Hunger Games outfit. I don't know. Is it really? Because Hunger Games, that I actually liked her outfits in Hunger Games. The Elizabeth What's-Her-Face, I liked her outfits in that. I also like how Daphne Guinness dresses, so maybe I'm not the, you know, best judge. Just saying. All right, so, where we go? A lot of stuff happening. And I think what they have the, are they having the balls tonight? The presidential balls? Shut up. You people are just insufferable. You guys are insufferable. I can't say anything without these two over here, these hens clucking.
What?
The dances, you snothead.
I totally thought that's what you said. I don't know what you're, I have no idea what you're saying.
Are they having, I have cedar fever, so I don't have Rona if you see me. Are they having the presidential gala balls? Yes. Shut up. I hate you. Right.
Can we not?
Thank you. Thanks, Dana. You're welcome, Dana. Just curious. Can we just, I there was a young lady who read a poem. I'm 90 now. And I mean, it was Amanda Gorman, very good public speaker, read a poem. She's very good. I mean, she was very lovely. I just don't understand the poem thing. Like, didn't Robert Frost read it at JFK's? Like, shouldn't it be more in keeping with today's era and somebody go up there and do a TikTok video, right? Somebody go up there and do a Snapchat, right? Yeah, where's the sea shanty at? I love the yellow. And she was quite nice. Otherwise, incredibly boring inaugural thing. It's back to being stuffy and boring, everybody.
Are you going to tell your Allen Ginsberg story?
Yes, okay, yes. Thank you for reminding me. So I don't understand the poem thing. And when I first went to college, I was going to be an English major, and I became a journalism major. I switched everything after an unfortunate event that I call the Allen Ginsberg episode. And it was the Allen Ginsberg. Every year where I went to school, they would do this thing where all of the hippies would get together and they would read Howl. It was like considered the defining poem of the Beat generation. And I mean, it's basically like one, it's kind of like one long run-on sentence. It's like the last pair. It's like the last chapter of Ulysses in a more ridiculous form. And it's, I don't know. I just sounds like somebody got drunk and wrote a really long, rambly Facebook entry. And I never understood it. And I'm sitting there and everyone's like, yeah, this is so great. And, you know, and everybody took turns reading it. And it's like, this poem lasts forever. And I would say it's like an epitaph for the Beat generation, which basically a bunch of no good, you know, didn't do nothing hippies. And by the way, Allen Ginsberg looked kind of like a little bit like a Karl Marx, sort of. Anyway, and everyone gets together and they all, you know, they would all read it. And I'm sitting there thinking, this sucks. And I was a leftist at the time. And I'm like, this sucks. Really? We're all going to sit here and be like, half of you guys grew up in rural Jefferson County and you're going to sit here in Missouri and you're going to act like I totally understand the Beat generation, right? Like we totally get it, right? East River opens up to a room full of hot steam and opium who created great suicidal dramas on the apartment cliff banks of the Hudson under the wartime blue floodlight of the moon, and their head shall be crowned with laurel in oblivion. I'm like, this is stupid. So I got up and left and changed my major. I was like, I think I would rather have all my teeth ripped out of my head than ever have to deal with this again. She was way better, but I just never understood the poem thing. Like Maya Angelou was pretty good at Clinton's. I remember her. And she did Still I Rise. That was the poem she wrote at Clinton's. And that was a pretty good little poem. But she also had the voice to go along with it. And I think that is helpful. If you have a voice that can go along with it. I never liked Ken. I mean, I wasn't alive when he was doing this, but still. But yeah, I just never understood that. Like, why? That's one of the things I liked about the stuff that Trump did. Like, who sits here and plays like Italian, who plays opera and then lights off fireworks at the 4th of July? It was just weird, man. You remembered it, right? It was like, it was like a 4th of July when one of my uncles and we would always go to an aunt's house, and there was this big field by the railroad tracks, and they're like, no, I've got to cue up that Lee Greenwood song. And we can't do the fireworks until it's queued up. And then, you know, you would have your assortment of Roman candles in different kind of buckets and bottles. And, you know, all the more expensive fireworks that the adults got, while they only let you get the snapping pops and some, and the little tanks and the snakes and all that stuff. And there would be an assortment of this, you know, this battery. And then somebody would press the button on the portable CD player. And the Lee Greenwood would beam out, his voice would boom out through these little bitty Sony speakers over the field by the railroad tracks where my aunt lived, and then you could light off the fireworks. It was similar to that, right? It was just kind of reminding me of that. But like, you're playing opera, didn't play opera, they had a dude singing opera. You look around and there's some guy on a balcony somewhere singing opera. And then you light off the fireworks. It's just kind of funny, right? It's just funny. And so I like the theater of it, but I also think I don't get a lot of the, I mean, I guess if they're good, but everyone acts like they have to have a poet now, right? So I just never understood that aspect of it. All right, so a few other things to touch on. Howl, they read Howl, oh my gosh, this is the worst poem ever. Can I just say that? Yeah. Just so overrated. I can almost like see the dandruff in it. Oh man, I have thoughts that are not popular. Okay. So the oh boy. I can't wait for more announcements to take place. We were the 17 things that he's going to be signing, we've discussed all of this, the executive actions. There's going to be a lot coming up. The pardons. Can we have a discussion about the pardons real quick? Lil Wayne got pardoned. Yeah. I like Lil Wayne. And I like him that he wore, what is it, that preppy V-neck sweater when he went to the White House. And he stood next to Trump. I didn't realize he was like very diminutive. You know what I mean? He was like a dude who looked like they are like an old child sitting next to Trump, because Trump is huge. He's very tall. And I just didn't, but they pardoned Lil Wayne. They pardoned the death row guy. So Snoop got his pardon. No Joe Exotic. Steve Bannon got his pardon. They pulled him out of the dirty laundry bin. Pardon. He looks like a bunch of dirty clothes that just got together and became sentient, you know? He's like, you know how Pizza the Hut was just like random bits of pizza together? He's like random bits of dirty clothes. Like socks and shorts, all of them cargo. And they kind of like all find each other and like turn into a person. And they called themselves Steve Bannon. That's who it is. He got pardoned. It's actually the best description for anyone that I've ever had in my life. And I just wanted to high five myself for a second. real tears today. Oh, man. Not of sadness, but just amusement. He does, though. And it's like what happens when your hair is kind of greasy and it looks like you've been through a wind tunnel, but you weren't. All right. I can't. I've known him for a decade. I absolutely can. Step off. All right. So, back to serious business here. Serious business. John King of CNN says, there's an air of cleansing about today. And then everyone now is celebrating what Kamala Harris is wearing. Everyone's talking. But I thought you couldn't do that. Right? Remember? Like, talking about pantsuits was sexist when Hillary Clinton was running. And now everyone's like, oh, Kamala Harris wears a dress today. Very purposeful, et cetera, et cetera. And they're all talking about that. Okay. Well,
we're not going to force you to wear a mask. But if you do head out, take the Dana Show with you by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So there was a fight over airline luggage. ABC 7 in New York, two Spirit Airlines agents actually were injured after passengers attacked them over luggage. Actually, this was reported by New York, but it was in Detroit. Two people got injured. A brawl broke out in this airport. Tensions escalated. Spirit Airlines flight was boarding on a Sunday night, but three passengers says the airline attacked its agents over a fight around baggage. Three suspects were disputing the size of their carry-on bags. Oh, man, TSA rules. This is why nobody likes you. Just saying. Also, let's see here. Oh, a drunk driver was arrested for just driving up the Wisconsin Capitol steps. That's going to happen. If you do that, you're going to get arrested. You know that? If you drive up the Capitol steps, that's a big bad no-no. But that's, authorities say it was an intoxicated man who ended up driving. Of course he was intoxicated. You can't get drunk and then drive up the Capitol steps. Thankfully, nobody was injured, but good night. It could have been bad. They say that 44-year-old Willie Burks drove up those exterior steps. This was his third drunken driving offense. Yeah, he previously was reckless driving charge, operating while suspended, and driving against traffic and driving on the sidewalk. Oh, yeah. So don't, that's kind of, The president wants to create a new political party. This is one report coming in. This is actually was reported by the Washington Times last night. They said that he's considering creating a third party. Some people are saying, oh, it's the Patriot Party. Nothing official's in yet. Everything's already just speculation. But that would be interesting to see that play out. After stealing cigarettes and Mentos, a robber decided to flee in an ambulance. But he didn't know how to drive it. Hellerton woman who was accused of stealing cigarettes and Mentos. It's interesting. 19-year-old Antoinette Frolian. And she was trying to steal an ambulance to get away and could not drive it. She's freed on $8,000 bond. Stick with us.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I fought for you. I fought for your family. I fought for our country. Above all, I fought for America and all it stands for. And that is safe, strong, proud, and free. Now, as I prepare to hand power over to a new administration at noon on Wednesday, I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Well, that is the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, this morning, his last remarks behind that presidential seal. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. We're not on the first today. But you can watch the simulcast, yes, later on. And then later on this week, we'll have some better people on foreign policy. But you'll be able to watch the simulcast of the show on Facebook, of course. And then, of course, DanaRadio.com. Subscribe to Chapter and Verse. So, I'm still... because we went through the whole, I want to come back, and I know I mentioned it briefly earlier. I want to come back to this, though, because this is more than just a Twitter change. I mentioned the 17 executive orders and actions, which are orders that are legally binding, actions or not, and the things that Biden is signing in the Oval Office, but this to me is huge. And we were all wondering what this meant in terms of foreign policy. What's going to happen? We know obviously there are going to be foreign policy changes, but what this means with this for Abraham Accords, etc. Because that was pretty amazing that Trump was able to do this. Trump was able to get all of these different countries to sign on to these Abraham Accords. You have direct flights now. Going from Tel Aviv to UAE and elsewhere. the Twitter account for the U.S. ambassador to Israel, and it's at USA, it's at USAMB Israel. It said previously U.S. ambassador to Israel. And it changed last hour, sometime last hour, showcasing a significant shift to read the official Twitter account, not just of the U.S. ambassador to Israel, the official Twitter account of the U.S. ambassador to Israel, the West Bank, and Gaza. That is not a pro-Israel, and I say that because Gaza is run by an outfit that is officially designated as a terrorist organization by our U.S. government. Hamas is designated officially as a terrorist organization. Now, Biden said he's going to maintain the embassy facility in Jerusalem, which Trump, out of all the Democrats and Republicans who said they would consider it or do it, he actually is the only one who did it. I am curious as to, and I think that Biden's maintaining this, but I'm wondering what kind of policy, other policy change beyond this optic is going to happen. What's going to take place? Because I know that they're trying to continue the stalled Palestinian-Israeli talks, but they're going to have to give a little bit more of a clarification as to how we're going to be handling this going forward. I mean, day one, and this has been like one of the first things that's changed. So I was reading some of the communications. There was from some foreign policy advisors on this to the previous administration saying that, well, this is now they're going to be conducting direct diplomacy with Palestinian leaders in the Gaza. That's where Hamas terror group maintains control. But this, by including them in there, some of these previous advisors are speculating. The administration now looks as though they're trying to determine that neither area is part of Israel. That's going to place some tensions on those on that relationship. An ambassador to an area that is controlled by a designated terrorist group. Wow. It begins. That's incredibly significant. It begins. Now, a couple of other things here. I told you the 1776 report. That was the 1776 commission established to celebrate and renew education on the founding of America that's been now decommissioned. The restoration of taxpayer funding to support CRT, critical race theory, education is now restored. Yeah. So
they cut the funding for civics education, mm-hmm. but increased Marxist the funding theory. For Marxist
yes.
race theory. All right, great.
Yes. That's not an exact, that's what it is. Anyone who disputes what the origin of critical race theory is uneducated. They need to go back and take a remedial college class because that absolutely is a Marxist theory. That is where it began. This is what we all learned in college. So people can go back and re-educate themselves if they want to dispute CRT as a Marxist theory and an offshoot of critical theory. So, really, just some, you know, when we knew this was coming, we knew it was coming. The one thing that I do hope that everyone is paying attention to, and there was a really good piece by my friend Joy Pullman over at The Federalist, 8 strategies for exiting the Biden year stronger than the right went in, recognizing corporate media as a propaganda machine, crystal clarity about the left's real goals, separation of the GOP from big business, accelerating the corruption cycle, targeting the close and local. And all of, I mean, getting involved locally. And this is one thing that we'll be talking about because there's this huge accelerated migration from blue states to red states underway. And the only way that you're going to be able to balance that is by your participation. It cannot be any longer just a few people doing all the work and then everyone else going out and voting and thinking they've done the same amount as these other volunteers. No. What did I tell you, you know, even right after the election, that if you cannot donate your time to run and volunteer and do these things that need to be done in your community, if you can't be prevailed upon to participate in civics, I mean, can I be really frank? Nobody has, I know everyone's busy and nobody has time. Do you like living in a free country?
I do.
No one is too busy to participate. No one is too busy to participate in just civics and making sure that our freedom is maintained. And if you are, then your priorities are wrong. If you are and you refuse to adjust your priorities, then you need to question whether or not you really are a patriot. Patriotism is also defined by the willingness one is able to or wanting to volunteer to put into their community. Your willingness to participate freely in civics, it is a duty. It's like all these people that are talking about that were going on and on about, we don't have nothing left. I mean, there were some people that were defending the violent rioters that broke away from the peaceful protesters that last Wednesday. How many of those people that were busting the windows in the cabinet of the Capitol building could even tell you what H.R. 1 was? But yet they're going to act like there was no other option? How many people could tell? How many of those individuals participated of their own volition in the civics of their area, participated in their, you know, whether it's city councils or whether it was their town halls or school boards, etc.? I know a lot of people that don't have time, but they make time. And if you're unable because of health reasons, or maybe it's because you can't get off work to make a particular school board meeting or whatever, then you need to step up as an encourager of those who do. Make that be your ministry. Encourage people who are getting in there and doing it, because they need your encouragement. They're not going to get on cable news for a hit. They're not going to get mentioned by Tucker Carlson. They're not going to get, they're not going to get mentioned on anywhere else and have newspapers articles written about them. They're not going to get magazine profile pieces. But maybe, just maybe, the people who can't but who are benefiting by their voluntary work, maybe, just maybe, those they could benefit from having those people encourage them. Be an encourager if you can't be out there. And if you're unwilling to do either of those things, then resign yourself to being on the left. The left has professional volunteer classes. I know a lot of people on the right who like to substitute the variable of big government with big volunteer. They talk a great game about not wanting to outsource stuff to the government, but they'll totally outsource stuff to different groups. That's how a lot of people get swindled by the likes of Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell. They want to outsource everything. You cannot outsource your advocacy. You cannot outsource your civic participation. That is how we get big government. It's how we got it in the first place. You don't outsource your Christian duty, do you? Why would you outsource your duty as a citizen in this republic? If you think you're going to get through the next 4 years without doing any of these things, I got a newsflash for you. You're not. If you think you're going to stymie any of this stuff that's going to be, and there's folks, there's going to be some bad legislation coming through. Are you going to warm your hands by the fire of all these other volunteers? Are you going to sit back and let everyone else do the heavy lifting while everybody bitches a good game on Facebook? I don't have time for that. This is the time that tests the true mettle of a patriot. Are you going to be willing to push up your sleeves and get involved? If you volunteered, are you going to volunteer more? If you can't volunteer more, are you going to encourage those who do? I don't say this to be harsh. I say it because I think it needs to be said. And it's a challenge to everybody. We all got to pitch in. Nobody's too good. Just because I'm on radio doesn't mean I'm not good enough to go, or I'm too good to go and participate when need be. I get involved in my school board stuff, and if I can't be there in person, I try to watch and get my work done and watch online and participate, and I encourage those. And when I can't be there, I do everything I can to provide encouragement to those who do. Even if that means, you know what, someone put in a lot of volunteer hours this week. Let's send them some flowers. Let's send them like a cookie basket. You know, how about a gift card for a night out? They can go and have a nice meal. That's what I'm talking about. If you're not willing to do it, then what is the point of any of this? Give up. But if you're one of those people who really does understand the kind of stuff from which we descended, our ancestors made it through a lot tougher stuff than this with fewer numbers than we have. And if you understand that, and you're willing to put in the effort, then maybe, just maybe, we'll get through just fine these next 4 years. But that all depends on you.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
It is. Do you guys remember like a year ago when everybody was mad at the Betsy Ross flag? Here's a story. What is the Betsy Ross flag and why is it so controversial? Remember all that? Colin Kaepernick spoke out against the Betsy Ross flag. It was, remember this? ABC News. Symbols of hate and far-right extremism. They carry the supporters of Donald Trump carry the Betsy Ross flag. That was just like from ABC like 6 days ago. Decoding the hate symbols of the Capitol insurrection. Everybody knows what the Betsy Ross flag looks like, right? Yeah. We all know. Can you guys tell me what flags are hanging up at the Capitol today? Yeah. Anybody? Especially if you look at the between the columns there by the rotunda. Can you guys know what? I'm just curious.
Is that the Betsy Ross flag there?
Yes, it would be two of the Betsy Ross flags apparently hanging up there. Just kind of interesting, right? So that changed very quickly. Look at that. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, looks like there's a constitutional law professor claiming this.
Owned in the late 18th century. So everybody can have a musket and everybody can have a single shot pistol if they really want one.
So basically, right? we're going to talk more about this
tomorrow.
What he's saying is that 2A, you know, he agrees with it as long as everyone just has muskets.
No, he's completely historically illiterate, and here is why. First off, we all knew that John Belton was going to sell to the Continental Congress the Belton gun. Washington turned it down, and so did Continental Congress because of the exorbitant price. Later on after that, they also turned down the Knott gun. Ben Franklin had written to George Washington to inform him about the repeating rifle. And don't forget about the Austrian military air rifle that Jefferson had and was also on the battlefield during the War of Independence, which fired 22 shots in a minute. We'll be back with you tomorrow, folks.